welcome to the Carly Pilk Boys podcast with me, David Ferrier.
And Stephen Merchant.
We're air checking the old Ricky Gervais XFM shows. I've listened heaps. This is Zach's first time through. We're up to series 2, episode 19, which is a best of. So we're skipping that, going straight to episode 20, the first show of 2003. It was broadcast on the 4th of January. So no like long Christmas and New Year's holiday for these fellas.
No, and it even feels like that it's in that period. You know, they're a bit more relaxed. I love that time of year.
Where the office is empty. It actually sort of feels halfway towards being on holiday where it's like, well, the pressure's off.
I'm imagining too, it's snowing. Do you reckon it's snowing? In my mind, there's snow outside. It's freezing cold.
If anyone can tell us, was it snowing in London on January 4, 2003? Please get in touch. Carly Pilk Boys, look us up.
Someone might have one of those memories where they just remember what the weather was for the last 30 years. You know, you've heard people that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the people who can fly over a city and then draw it from memory.
Yeah.
It's
like a savant skill.
Yeah. Well, look, if you are one of those people, or maybe you just remember it because it was a particularly bad hangover from New Year's, and then the 4th of January was when you finally emerged and walked outside and went, bloody hell, it's snowing. Get in touch with us.
By the way, my impression is that it snows in London every Christmas.
See, I don't think accurate. It does. 2003. What were the big events of 2003? It was when the Iraq War started, I seem to remember.
Okay.
I don't know why that's the first thing I thought of.
It was like Carl start a war segment in this episode.
He does.
Maybe war's very top of mind.
I'm just thinking.
That's like, not the Iraq War, man. The Iraq War started in 2009. After 9/11.
2009?
Oh, sorry. 2001.
I think you'll find the like Iraq, the actual invasion of Iraq. Well, let's look it up. This is the Iraq War retrospective podcast.
So they were they kind of react to 9/11 and then they get the troops together.
Well, yeah. Although 9/11 and the Iraq War, I know they're not one in the same.
Okay, they're separate.
The Iraq War was more about Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this is getting real fun real quick.
The weapons of mass destruction.
The 20th of March, 2003.
There he goes.
To December 15, 2011.
Don't question him on wars.
I'm a war guy.
Never forget, son.
But it was very good from you,
Thank
Zach.
Thank you. Thank you.
Zach's first time through the shows, and there we go. We've got a callback. We've got a reference. I was the height of, we get a little reference to it here. It was the height of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's phenomena. So funny that Steve has backed the wrong horse.
Oh, big time.
He makes a joke about what's the difference between this what's the similarity between this show and Lord of the Rings, or what's the same thing?
They're both interminable or something.
Yeah, and it's like awful. What? Like don't.
And it's Lord not the first the time they've great. Railed against that, and they continue to rail against Lord
and
of the
just
Rings
seems
and
Harry it's Potter. Fantasy.
Yeah,
but not all fantasies are the same.
Yeah. And he says it became a bit of a family tradition that they would go and see the latest Lord of the Rings movie, which as it was for my family, actually.
Yeah, that would be in 2003.
Like Boxing Day, it was always when it came out.
The latest one is probably 8 days out now at the time of this recording.
I think the Twin Towers was newly out and it was the number one movie in the world. Is that right? Yeah, no, because Return of the King was the end of 2003. They came out one year after another. Let's get into the air check. So it is the first show of the new year and Carl's come back refreshed and ready to roll with a bunch of new ideas, including rituals. We're going to hear a bunch of those coming up in the show. They talk a little bit about New Year's and that Carl spent New Year's Day with Suzanne seeing a musical on the West End. Sucks to be a performer having to go to work on New Year's Day. Well, I suppose
that's the business.
Yeah.
That's when the audiences are there ready to, I think they'd love it. They'd probably like a bit of a tradition built into it, the holiday period.
Yeah. I know a few people in musicals. Like I know I've got friends who were just in town for Frozen the musical, which was on in Brisbane. Mm. And now they've traveled on to Adelaide, and I was just in Melbourne working on the cartoon, and I went and saw Hamilton.
Oh yeah,
and I know someone in the cast there, and out like it is a dedicated lifestyle.
Yeah,
eight shows a week, and then when you're not performing, you basically have to be on vocal rest.
What does that mean? You can't talk.
Well, you can't go do karaoke or go to a football game and scream.
And do they enforce that? Is there some type of ankle chain that goes around your neck?
It starts to beep.
Beeps if you get too loud.
Shit. No, when they go into the theatre each night, there's like a nurse who goes, open your mouth. You've been using these vocal cords, haven't you?
Mm.
Naughty, naughty. But the first bit we'll focus on is in break three.
I think that story you just told was you wanting to say you saw Hamilton. It doesn't seem like that was going anywhere.
Yeah, no big deal. saw Hamilton. So what? I also saw the picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Anyway, I'll cut all of that out and we'll go on to break three, Carl's Christmas, where he talks about his gifts for Suzanne in the last show. He was saying, well, we're going out for dinner. And Ricky and Steve are like, that's not enough. You got to get her some actual gifts to unwrap under the Christmas tree. First of all, how do you feel about that? Like, I think there's some merit. Like, it's nice to unwrap things.
Yeah. My wife and I sometimes we'll be like, we won't do gifts this year because we've been on a holiday or something. But it's still like, oh, but let's still get something to unwrap.
Yeah.
Something small. You want to unwrap something on Christmas Day.
What did Suzanne get to unwrap? Well,
this. Got her a present, right? And she said, I said, you got me. It was an industrial sized packet of condoms.
It was a joke gift.
No, it wasn't a joke gift.
It wasn't even a joke.
Close to Carl's strangest thing he's ever done, do you think, on the show? I just cannot my head around.
The thought process.
Why he thought that was a good idea. Even when he explains it and he says it's about the surprise, it still doesn't make any sense. Is it meant to be practical? Is it meant to be a joke? Is it meant to be something that you'll actually like? Like, it seems like that's a admin purchase. Like something that you'd just get in the weekly grocery bills.
Milk and toilet paper and some spray and wipe.
Yeah. But that's
Merry
kind of
Christmas.
What they, don't they joke about that he paid the milk bill for someone? Hey, well, I bought you milk for this week as a gift. Even if it was like paying a bill, which would actually be helpful and quite a lot of money, that still is a bad gift. You're kind of like, well, there's nothing. It doesn't feel like a gift. It just feels like you're taking care of admin for me.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're condoms also kind of seems like... that's half a present for him.
Again, that's what it's always. You're involved. You benefit. You benefit from the dinner. You benefit from the condoms. Then on to break four, they have the Rockbusters clues. I didn't write any of those ones down. Break five, Carl talks about his failed New Year's Eve plans. They went to go to a restaurant, but he booked the wrong one. They ended up staying in and going to bed at 11 p.m.
Mm.
Failed New Year's plans. Are you a big New Year's Eve?
No, I kind of, it's too late. When, especially now that I'm 30, or in my 30s, sorry. What parties are hitting their peak at midnight now? Few.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And so it always feels like that it's lagging. You got to kind of stretch it out I always feel like midnight comes and then very soon after it's like,
all right, see you, everyone. We're done, we made it.
It's the end of the night rather than the big moment.
The peak and the beginning, yeah. Yeah, it feels like at our age, and it's not like, I couldn't possibly stay up longer. You just don't want to. You're just like, I'm not as amused by the idea of staying up all night unless you're with people who are taking drugs.
Right.
And then you're like, fuck yes, let's go.
Push through. I think last year I probably didn't stay up. I had a young child. I'm pretty confident I remember the year before also I had a new baby. And I think like we had dinner and went to bed probably very early. Actually, I'm positive we did because I remember thinking on New Year's Day, wow, this is like the most sprightly I've felt on New Year's Day in a long time. Yeah,
there was a solid decade where I'd start every day of the new year horribly hungover, very late. But now it is more, well, it's the first day of the new year. I want to start off on the right foot.
Well, often in Australia too, it's a beautiful day. It's like stunning. Middle of summer.
Yeah.
And so like it's often a nice day. And so it's always a great day to surf. When I was younger, I always used to surf early because you get like no one's out there. Yeah.
Christmas Day as well is a good surfing day. Although people do tend to go out surfing a fair bit.
Well, that day you've got all the new surfboards. You know, people who've got the kids who have got new boards. They're like, I want to go try it out.
That's
but
true.
But New Year's Day, it's like everyone's hungover.
Yeah, mum and dad's hungover. They don't want to go out. No, I'm taking you to the beach. Yeah.
It's also the sun rises in where we are in summer at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so like if you were to go surfing early, you're literally lots of people pass out on the beach. You know, after a big night, or they slept on the beach to watch the sunrise. That's like a thing that people would do because 4:30 is not that late in the night to go watch the sunrise.
Mm. And New Year's was literally 4 hours ago.
Yeah, so the beach usually has quite a lot of people, so you're kind of stepping over people like sleeping.
Where is this? It's on the Sunshine Coast.
Everywhere, man. Gold Coast would be the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Like,
well, Gold Coast, yeah, definitely. If you walk along Broad Beach or something.
Yeah, there's usually people around. Going, you know, their night's not over.
There, you talk about like it is the middle of summer and Perth, like Brisbane, gets quite hot. And I just have memories. I can still feel it of like insane over the top nights, New Year's. And then you wake up at like midday and then have to, like, if you're not in your own home, you have to make your way home. And like I'm younger, so I, you know, it might have even been before Uber, or I just had no money. So like, or I'm close enough that I can walk, and just walking home in 37 degree heat with like a horrible hangover,
dehydrated already,
is just not a fun experience. Yeah, last 21 into 22 was definitely the like, all right, we made it to the fireworks. See you guys, bye. What were you doing New Year's Eve 2002 to 2003.
Well, that was going from primary school to high school.
I think I probably was at the beach. Like it was like a beach party.
We would have been making kind of backyard fireworks ourselves. Did you used to do that? No. With,
Are you talking about sparkle bombs?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get sparklers and basically put them in some foil and light it.
No, no, not foil. That you need something that's going to contain them better.
Oh, okay.
Something harder.
Like some Tupperware?
What worked quite well was bottle caps, you know, the hard plastic, and then you drill a hole in the top because it needs pressure. The foil, this is becoming like make your own fireworks chat. But surprisingly, it was always like, because you're at parties with your parents, right? And we'd do like sometimes for Christmas or New Year's, we'd do like a neighborhood, kind of like what Carl's talking about actually in the last episode. But we wouldn't do it on Christmas Day, but you'd have like a neighborhood party. And we were never allowed to play with fire, obviously, because that's a horrible idea. But then sometimes as the night went on, the parents would kind of start getting into it because, like, they'd be like, yeah, make another one. They're starting to enjoy watching the fireworks that you're making.
Wow.
So, like, sometimes – I remember sometimes thinking, like, oh, we're going to get told to stop doing this. And then sometimes I'd be like, hang on, they seem to be into it. We might get away with it tonight.
And how do you make a pipe bomb?
That I don't know. We were able to survive. They did kind of get more elaborate where we would, because Jackass had just come out, and would try to jump our bikes through like a like a flame of sparkle.
Jackass has so many childhood injuries.
I know. One time, you know, we'd put them in different places and stuff, and thankfully we managed to escape with that somehow.
Mm.
I don't think we would ever. They weren't things that exploded. They just shot flames out. So I don't think it was a danger of losing a finger or anything, but I think there was a danger of burns. But
or
somehow,
like a projectile, you know.
Yeah, something. Getting it in your eye or because it was melting plastic either, breathing in the flames or getting it stuck on you. I imagine getting melting plastic stuck on you is not a good idea. But somehow we managed to avoid all of that. We'd put them on our bikes.
One
we'd
of
put
the
under
ones.
The seats. We'd put them under the seats of our bikes so it looks like that you were like getting like a rocket power.
Wow. You know, there used to be Guy Fawkes Night in Australia. It used to be called Cracker Night.
They have fireworks in the UK.
Was Guy Fawkes Night still a thing? Get in touch with us, carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com. Because it was still, it was called Cracker Night, but because I've just finished doing this radio show, which was called The Greatest, and it was all about like the greatest music of all time, I'd often talk about the year that the songs were released. And 1983, we found this news story about like Cracker Night's coming up and parents need to be warned because it's dangerous for the kids. And the police had like a puppet, like a police puppet saying, take care, kiddies, because if you burn your finger, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, a few digits later, got lost, and fireworks are now outlawed in Australia. You can't have them. They're banned.
Fair call, too.
Nanny state.
This age, though, do you remember when you're like, I was like 12 or 13, it was like, it wasn't about partying or yet it was about like, oh, we get to stay up late.
Homemade explosives.
But we could play Spotlight. That, or we could run around Spotlight, the neighborhood.
Red Rover all over. Like yeah. All of those front yard games.
And we can kind of do it at night when we're not usually allowed out.
Yeah. I'm old enough, and it's only going to make me feel older and older as time goes on. Like I had just turned 14 for the millennium. Like I remembered like the year 2000 New Year's very clearly. We had a big street party.
I went to a street party in Sydney. We were like traveling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think I remember seeing fireworks in the distance. In my mind, they were the harbour fireworks, like the famous ones. Thinking about it now, they were probably just some like local council fireworks.
Or some kids or some in the kids. Backyard.
You know what I remember from the New Year's, right? We weren't allowed from the Millennium New Year's. Razor scooters had just come out. They were like all the rage. And some kids that were there had some. And I was begging my parents to let me have a go because they were so smooth. Remember how smooth they were? It was like compared to a skateboard or rollerblades, it's like, these are amazing. They had those like gel wheels. Mm. But the parents of one of the kids had hit a rock and smashed her jaw, like broke her jaw or something because she went over the handlebars and hurt herself. And my parents were like, no, they're dangerous. You're not going anywhere near them. And so we weren't allowed to ride these kids' scooters.
But go surfing on your own tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that was fine.
In break five, in the same break, Carl, this has happened once before, but it was Steve last time. Carl basically pitches the idea for Idiot Abroad.
Another one I'm thinking of doing. Do you know the film Around the World in 80 Days? Ooh. Around the World in 80 Gervais? And what I do, I give you like little things, like little bits of information about countries, so that if you go, you'd go like... Don't want to go there.
Which is essentially, Idiot Abroad is like the anti-travel show, which is like...
Well, they've reversed it on him.
Yeah.
Because Ricky's gone, yeah, I love it, except instead of you doing it to me,
yeah,
we'll do it to you.
In break six, do we need him? The octopus. The octopus survives. That guy, whoever he talks to, puts up a good case. I actually listened to this one again. It was a good chat. The guy was just having none of it.
It's also funny that he never introduces the guy or his qualifications.
I have no idea.
I don't think he even knows because they ask him at the end. And he goes, I think his name was Chris.
Carl pitches another show idea, celebrities being homeless. In Australia, there was a show, Filthy Rich and Homeless, which wasn't necessarily celebrities, just like wealthy people.
It strikes me as something that you could do as like a charity night.
Well, there is the CEO Sleep Out as well, which is an annual charity. And then on to break seven, Carl's new segment, what do you think of that? And he talks about the first bomb that was dropped on Berlin in World War II. Didn't kill any people, but it killed an elephant, which is true. Here's an article I copied and pasted. The first major air raid on the German capital killed an elephant in the Berlin Zoo. Many articles and blogs falsely claim that the British bomb killed the only elephant in the zoo. This falsity has made so many rounds on the internet that it has become an urban legend. No matter how sad, it's a shame that it is not true because what actually happened is even worse. The Berlin Zoo had 9 elephants at the beginning of World War II. The Indian elephant bull called Siam was the only pachyderm to survive the Allied bombing raids. The first one was killed in 1940, and then the bombs fell in 1944, killed 7 more, leaving Siam all alone in what was left of his enclosure.
I mean, that's sad, but we're talking in the context of air raids and wars here. I mean, like, people die.
Mm.
So I don't understand why this, I'm upset that the elephant died, but I don't know why it's such a sad story in the context of millions of people dying.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mostly just skim read and copied and pasted. There was a fair bit of I feel like whoever wrote this is a real elephant advocate.
Yeah, okay. It's also like, why was the story changed to the only... Does that make a difference?
Yeah, why? Who cares?
Like, it was like one elephant or like it was the only elephant in the zoo. These are elephants in captivity, by the way. Yeah. Like, this is already a sad story.
What a shit bit of luck.
I know.
So you're taken out of your natural habitat.
And then there's a war.
And be taken care of by Nazis and then you're bombed to death.
Like where their homes in the Sahara plains, are there many air raids there?
I wouldn't have thought so.
I don't think that's how they find their end usually.
So this zoo, Siam, the real victim of World War II.
I don't even understand why that's a tidbit. Like, why is that interesting to go the only... Was it to go like, oh, the raid was so unsuccessful? Like, is it a piece of propaganda that's like they can't even do an air raid?
It's an oddity that it's like the first air raid on the capital city of Germany killed one elephant.
But so, air raids,
not even like a cat or a dog. Aren't
necessarily meant to have casualties. Like, they might be to knock out a bridge or to knock out...
I think that's also what's funny is like air raids are meant to knock out critical infrastructure.
Right, not the
zoo. Lads.
Well, maybe it was...
I've got the zoo in my sights.
Maybe the elephant was, like, well-known for coming up with war strategies.
Well, elephants never forget. Yeah. Maybe it had Hitler's full plans just locked away in its brain. And like those elephants that paint, they would put a brush in its trunk and it would paint it all out.
It is kind of strange for an airstrike that seems to be very fairly broadly reaching to just... Were any other animals in the zoo killed?
If it was only the elephant, I think that's what makes it. So it bounced over the cheetah enclosure, ricocheted off the owl's cage.
Seems quite targeted. What was the issue they had with elephants?
I'm telling you, it's the elephant had the Enigma code. Yeah, elephant Enigma code. In break 8, they then continue talking about war.
And this is a new segment, by the way.
Yeah.
I thought he was pitching... Just educating Ricky, but then they call it later on your new segment.
What do you think of that? Which is just, no, is it not Ricky? I'm confused now.
Well, no, because I thought it was in educating Ricky, but then later Ricky
Ricky, he comes up with the pun titles.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought it was. But then later Ricky calls it like your new segment about war.
Okay. Well, this one was the French code to launch an attack.
All right. Okay. What was it, Carl? What was the code?
Yeah, what are you thinking of?
Right.
John's got a moustache.
As always, I've done a bit of digging, and as is often the case, Carl is correct. He has misinterpreted it. It's kind of been filtered through Carl, but this is from the Ricky Gervais Reddit. As usual, Carl was 100% right. This is a clip from the 1962 movie called The Longest Day, and this is a French guy. You might have to come around here so you can see the screen. A French guy sitting at like a kitchen table listening to the radio.
Voici notre huitième bulletin d'information. Veuillez écouter tout d'abord quelques messages personnels. Demain, la mélasse deviendra du cognac.
Molasses tomorrow will bring forth cognac.
Demain, la mélasse deviendra du cognac. Jean a de longues moustaches.
John has a long moustache.
Jean a de longues moustaches.
Okay, the guy's just... He's eating soup. He's just dropped his spoon into his bowl. He looks stunned.
Sabine a les oreillons et la jaunie.
Je répète.
Sabine a les oreillons et la jaunie.
Jean a de longues moustaches.
Je répète.
So he goes over and grabs his helmet. So
Sorry, I thought it was going to be a code amongst the army, like, you know, a general. So there's a...
They're in the trenches.
Yeah, they're ready. They're waiting for the signal to go.
Yeah, the whistle
but
usually.
This guy's in his house having soup. What is it, a call to arms?
So this is from Reddit, so I haven't, you know, fully fact checked this. Take it with a grain of salt. But someone who in the comments said it was code broadcast by the French resistance to mobilize their forces after the Allies had landed in Normandy. It sounds true, like, it, you know, whatever.
It's at least true enough that the myth is beyond something Carl found. Like, they've put this
It's been depicted. Yeah. That's a John Wayne movie, apparently, The Longest Day. But yes, no, the way Carl tells it, you'd think they're walking through the troops going like, got a letter from home? No, oh yeah, I did. Oh, my wife's had a baby. Anyway, you see, John's got a moustache. Charge! Not quite the case. In break 9, they just hook into ads. And then in break 10, we get an office fun fact that Cat Stevens sitting was the alternate choice for the office theme. Instead of not T for the Tiller Man, that's
extras.
Instead of handbags and glad rags. That's one of those facts. File that away. If you ever go to an office trivia night, I feel like that's one of the that'll be one of the advanced.
Or if you run an office trivia night, slip that in there. And you can even get the recording. You know how sometimes they like to go, here's a recording of Steve saying
yeah, to prove it.
But interestingly, as you just said, in extras, they do use a Cat Stevens track, T for the Tiller Man, because in this episode, they say what that Cat Stevens wanted too much money, didn't he? So they obviously were able to negotiate a rate, or they got more money, or...
Yeah.
Or maybe T for the Tiller Man, because isn't that track kind of like an intro to the album? It's like only a minute long.
It's very short. Yeah.
And I wonder if he's like, you can have that one. It's not like, you know, that's not one of the biggies.
Or maybe they just had more budget this time. Because they even say that handbags and glad rags, they had to record their own version of it. Because for whatever reason, that was cheaper.
Oh, okay.
That's not Rod Stewart singing. In the office.
So but there might be a difference between like buying the rights to the song and then buying the recorded rights.
Yeah,
or something
like that. I've not actually heard Cat Stevens
Hi,
sitting.
I'm Luke Blink. It's an ad. Okay, Chief Exec.
Are you with this energy company, by the way, that's trying to get everyone to change energy companies? No? They're saying they can no longer be competitive. It's the weirdest thing.
They are famous for, they first, when they came on, it was like this small energy company. They made their own ads and they were very proud of that for some I don't really understand why, but they very much looked homemade. They were like, kind of looked like YouTube sketches. And they're like, we make our own ads. Then they kind of got big enough that it was like the ads were no longer made by them. But now they're saying, because energy prices are getting so expensive, don't go with us. But I kind of think, and they're kind of making headlines because they're doing advertising of like, you shouldn't sign up with us. But I think it's just a ploy to get.
Well, I'm with them. They're called Reamped. And it's been a relentless, like that, I've had phone calls, I've had letters in the mail. Every YouTube ad, every ad on Instagram is like, there's still time to change. You get a $100 gift card if you switch with finder.com or whatever.
Yeah, like don't go with us.
I'm suspicious. I am like, what's going on here?
Well, interestingly, with those YouTube sketches where the employees were in the ads.
Like Bunnings.
I saw the guy walking near my house.
Oh, yeah.
My wife's like, that's the guy from those ads. So they must be like local.
Yeah. Anyway, tangent over. Back to Cat Stevens sitting. You know, we can't really play this whole song, but I just want to get a sense of it. Because this is the one, Steve said he still would have preferred this song.
I don't know. It's hard to imagine now, isn't it? Because it was so successful. Oh, this is good though.
This is nice. Oh, I'm on my way. I just want to see the lyrics. Somewhere not so far from here. All I know is all I feel right. The thing about handbags and glad rags is like the lyrics
don't match.
Well, they aren't directly related, but there is just this like melancholy about it.
Well,
which
I think
just
you'll
fits
find
beautifully
that there's not many songs written about the office experience. There's not much about photocopying, catching up in meetings.
That's true. There's a gap in the market. Got a meeting booked for 10:30. It should probably just be an email. But instead, we'll be in there for 90 minutes.
I heard a song the other day by Ballpark Music. You know Ballpark Music?
Yeah.
And it was about like putting your phone down. And it kind of struck me as like... or being addicted to your phone. It struck me as being quite, I was like, this feels strange because it's about something quite modern. But then I was like, well, I guess people have always written songs about what's happening at the time. And that is something that's quite relevant to people.
Yeah.
But it kind of, I'm like, you know, you have the themes that you're allowed to talk about, love and loss.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not allowed to, and then maybe being happy. It's like, those are the only things you're allowed to be, being happy, being sad, or having a loved one or losing a loved one. Yeah. Those are the only things you're allowed to write songs about. But why is it any less meaningful to write a song about anything else?
Because you risk dating the song, I think.
That's what it
like
is.
Like they're timeless.
That's what it is.
Concepts, love and loss. Anyway, I'm trying to find a chorus for this one. Me. I don't need this to see you long. I keep on wondering if I sleep too long. Will I always wake up the same or so? Yeah, I can see.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
That's pretty good. And keep on wondering if I sleep too long. Will I even wake up again? Yeah, so that's good. Tim sleeping through his
life.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
bit.
Thinking. It does fit as a metaphor for like...
You're going through the motions.
I keep wondering if I sleep too long, will I ever wake up again or something? Yeah, if I keep compromising.
Passing you by.
Yeah. Will I ever? Would have worked. Alternative universe somewhere out there. That is the theme to The Office. And then Ricky's new feature he introduces. We're back to the show now.
Ricky Ridiculous. Which I love.
It's fun.
I love fun to say. I love the name. I love the premise. I love how quickly it's over.
Yes.
They do it in like 30 seconds. And Carl just wants to, he's like, I will engage with the game by the rules, but I want it over as quickly as possible. So as soon as he hears the one that's fake, he's like, ridiculous, let's move on. Like he doesn't even take a breath.
You said, I'm picking up that you're advocating for short segments, like the do we need him. Could have been done in 15 seconds.
That's right. But also.
Would have been punchier and funnier.
I like Ricky Ridiculous. I think, does he bring it back? Is that the only time it's done?
He does at least one more that I can think
But this
of.
Is also a reaction to Carl being upset that the guys aren't bringing anything. Mm. He's like, I've come in with all these different segments. You guys were meant to bring stuff and you didn't. And he seems genuinely upset by it because they ask him, you're a bit down today. And he's like, well, you know, you guys were meant to, I'm the only one contributing. And I feel like that while the song was going, Ricky was like, yeah, okay. Well, I'll come up with a ridiculous.
At some point he like hangs shit on Steve for being down on his ideas. And Steve was like, no, I'm not. I'm genuinely interested
in
your ideas.
Well, this is what I found interesting in this episode. And they fall into this a lot. And I relate to this because I fell into a similar dynamic before. When the joke is that it's bad... When it's good, it's bad. So if he comes up with good facts, the content is bad. When he comes up with bad facts, because they riff on the mustache thing and they have a great riff.
Mm.
They play the characters in the trench and they go, and they have a great riff on it. So, and Carl even says, you guys found that interesting. So why, you know, you found it really fun. So why are you getting stuck into me that I did a bad job? And it is this funny thing where, to be good, he has to do bad.
Yes.
And then so like I wonder when they hang up the microphone, so they go, actually, Carl, yeah, that is the type of thing we want. So keep coming with that. Even though we say it's bad on air, that's perfect. Or do they kind of go, because if Carl's encouraged to actually find interesting things, it just becomes a show that has tidbits.
It is like their duty is to advocate for good bits that would then make the show they're doing less interesting and funny. So then Carl's job, he has to push back by always bringing bad stuff. And they manage to do it. Because there are a few times where he brings genuinely, like it's usually the origins of sayings where they go like, okay, yeah, cool, that sounds interesting.
But then
it sounds
boring
right.
to listen to.
And it's boring to listen to. So I wonder how intentional that was.
And I wonder
I'd
if they
like
need to
think
say
it was
to him,
organic.
They need to say like, look, even though we're saying that it's bad, we want more stuff like that.
Yeah. Then they wrap up with Rockbusters answers, Dear Light, Aerosmith, and Wilson Pickett. And that's it. We're done. This has been
what's our run
fairly
time?
Short, 35 minutes.
I thought it was an hour.
We usually go an hour. So, but look, we may as well just wrap it up here because we're at the end. Next show, Series 2, Episode 21, Why Did Carl's Mum Shave a Cat? We'll get the answer to that
question.
I've seen
that in your picture.
It's in my illustration. We get a very scary story about a woman seeing herself as a child. And Do We Need Him returns next week. It's all about snails. Get around us on Patreon, patreon.com/CarlyPilkBoys. Contact us, CarlyPilkBoysPod@gmail.com. Instagram, Carly.PilkBoys. Zach Mander on Instagram and TikTok. I'm David Ferrier Cartoons. I'll have a cartoon, an actual animated show that you could watch there in the next in the near future. Zach, anything else before we finish?
No.
All right. Short one this week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
John's got a moustache.